Might ask you tonight if there's anything on your heart needs to be said or done. It's important tonight, as we've seen evidence of it this week, that we be obedient to the Spirit and what God would have us to do. And thankful for the things that we've been able to see and experience. And most of all, I'm thankful just to spend some time with the Lord. Always glad to see souls saved, and thankful for those testimonies, but I want to see more.
Amen.
I want to see more. So I encourage you tonight, if you're here and lost, to seek the Lord.
Amen.
I want you to be saved. And this church wants you to be saved, but most importantly, God wants you to be saved.
Amen.
Tonight, I really need your prayers. Do pray for me. I'm thankful that the preacher, the man of God, can feel God's people praying for him. And need your prayers tonight. I'm not a deep preacher, and I'm not going to try to be deep tonight. My thought is very simple. But I pray that it would have its effect. I want to take a reading tonight from 2 Kings in the 5th chapter. 2 Kings in the 5th chapter. I realize tonight this is very familiar scripture to you. Most of you have probably heard this before. But the Lord, I don't know how y'all are. After a service we had last night, I can't just go home and go to bed. That just don't work for me. I have to go down and let my body wind down and my mind wind down. But as I was sitting there in my chair and everybody else was asleep, and God gave me a couple verses here that I want to try to bring out, be a help to somebody. It says here, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. And he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away the captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of this leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doeth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'
Amen.
And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent unto him messengers unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean.' And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper. Are not the Bana and the Far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' And so he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
Amen.
And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And with the mistakes that we've made reading tonight, I want to try to take a thought here. And our thought comes from this 11th verse. And it says, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought. And tonight I want you to understand here that this man, the Bible says that he was a mighty man of valor. No doubt I believe that he was a respectable man. I believe that he was, if you'd say, even a good man. He was a man that was trusted. There was folks that had a lot of confidence in him. And even so, the Bible goes on to say beyond that he was a leper. Now, tonight I want you to understand that that was a great big deal back in those times. It's not something that we see much of nowadays. But even in those times, we can go back in the Old Testament and find how that if a man had leprosy, what he was to do. He was to be outside the camp, the Bible says. They were not to have any dealings with him. He would have been unclean. But beyond that, this man had leprosy. And I want you to understand tonight that it was very visible to people that seen him. And it had an effect on his life. Listen, I want you to understand, lost person tonight, that you have a great sickness. And all the world tonight suffers from that same sickness and that sin. Listen, this man, as he was sitting there, there was this little maiden there that the Bible says that she was little. And I believe she knew who the Lord was. I believe she had seen what God was able to do. And she said, if he would just go to the man of God, I know that he'd be healed. And I'm thankful tonight for the testimonies of God's people that's able to stand and testify to what God has done. That's a great witness in this world that we're living in. I think a lot of times about what John the apostle said. He said, I write these things and do testify of them to be true. He said, I've seen him. I've experienced him. I know that he lives. And he said, I write these things that you might believe.
Amen.
He was a witness. And the Bible calls him even an eyewitness of his majesty. Now, she said, if you'd just go to the man of God, I know you'd be healed. I want to look here tonight as Elisha. I want to think of him. I believe he's a great picture of the Lord in this. And tonight I want you to think about this. This man, he was coming and he was going to go with 10, I believe the Bible says that he took with him 10,000 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He was going with all the material values that this world had to offer. He was going, and in my way, I believe he was going to purchase what he was seeking. He was going that he might accrue it with the things of the flesh. He thought, well, if I go and I just present this, I'll be healed. And I want you to understand tonight, that, and listen to me, I'm thankful that salvation is a free gift of God. I'm thankful tonight that it was purchased through the blood of Christ. That I can't do nothing on my own tonight to receive it. And lost friend, there's not a thing tonight that you can do on your own. Now listen. It says here that as he come, it said Naaman came and with his horses and his chariots. And it says he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And it says when he come into Elisha, he said he sent messengers unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. And it says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. And tonight, that's where thought comes from. It says, Naaman said, I thought. And listen to me tonight, lost friend. That's the problem tonight. You can't think your way through this thing. My friend, you need to get I completely out of the picture because you can't do nothing tonight without God. You can't do this by yourself. You can't be saved by yourself. You've got to have His help. It said, I thought. And how many times have I been there in my life and I thought, well, Lord, I thought that I needed to do this, or I thought I needed to do that, but God has showed me, just come to the door. Just come to Him. He said, I stand at the door and I knock tonight. And listen to me, that's the way God works with me. I don't know how He works with you, but there's this little heart in here. He knocks on it, and that's how I knew that I was lost. And listen to me, that's how I know that I've been born again.
Amen.
Because from time to time, there was a little lady over there, and it said as Jesus was passing through Samaria, He stopped there at Jacob's well, and He offered to her, He said, I can give you living water. And He told her about that living water, and He said, listen, it'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Boy, I'm thankful that well gets to bubbling over sometimes. Because Brother Jeff said the other night, I can feel Him. But the problem is tonight, lost friend, is too many times people want to think their way through this thing. They want to try, as I think Josh said the other night, they want to come up with, and I'm not trying to repeat what he said, but they want to come up with some kind of carnal plan or some kind of, well, I need to do this. And I truly believe when Apostle Paul was there with Agrippa, he was telling him to repent and have faith in God. I believe in repentance tonight. But listen to me, you cannot repent on your own. You can't get there.
Right.
You know, as a 9-year-old little boy, I couldn't repent on my own. I didn't know everything I was going to do. I didn't know all the trouble and everything I was going to cause down through. I didn't know all that stuff, but I tell you what I went to Him with. I got thinking about this last night. Brother Jeff was talking about that broken heart and that contrite spirit. That contrite spirit means to be crushed. You know, you want to know why that you become brokenhearted? And that ain't something you can do on your own. You want to know why your spirit becomes crushed? Because you see Him for who He is, and then you see yourself for what you are. The mercy of God. The easiest way I know to explain that tonight is not getting what you deserve. That's the easiest way I know to explain it, the mercy of God. Me not getting what I deserved. If I got what I deserved, I'd spend eternity burning in hell. You know what grace is? Grace is getting something. It's being bestowed upon you something that you didn't deserve. God giving you something that you don't deserve. And boy, that's a beautiful picture. But he said here, I thought. It said he'd went to him. And he said, oh, man of God told him what he must do.
Amen.
Brother Jeff, this week he's told you. Listen, I believe there was that man over there that was when Paul and Silas was in jail. And that jailer come to him and said, what must I do to be saved?
Amen.
He said, believe upon the Lord Jesus with all your heart.
Amen.
He said, listen, he didn't tell him that that you had to do this or had to do that, but he said, believe upon the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's not about, as we heard last night, some beautiful prayer or this or that. Listen to me. God wants to be your friend. I'm going to tell you what the greatest thing about salvation is to me. I'm so thankful tonight that I've got a home in heaven when I leave this world. But I'm going to tell you what's better than that is I've got a friend that'll go through this life with me. I was telling y'all the other night how that when I fell off that barn and everything had happened to me, I didn't get into all this, but there's nights I'd lay there in that bed hurting, in pain. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't get up. I couldn't go to the cow. I couldn't do anything. And I'd lay there in that bed and the lights would be out and Jessica, she'd be there beside me sleeping. And I'd be there all alone. But I wasn't alone. Because God, he'd come in there when I was laying in that bed. And he'd come in there and he'd just wrap his arms around me. There's times I'd go down and I'd pray and asking the Lord, listen to me. It's something tonight that's real and it's something tonight that you can feel.
Amen.
That's one of the greatest parts about salvation tonight. Is it ain't just about getting a home in heaven. Oh, that's just the beginning, you see.
Amen.
You've got somebody that'll go through this life with you that'll be a great help to you. It said this man, when he'd come there, and Elisha told him what he must do. Jesus Christ has told you. Listen, the Word of God has pointed you to what you must do. Believe upon him. What is it that he said? He said, those that believe are not condemned. But he said, those that believe not are condemned already. You don't have to wait till the end of your life to be condemned. If you're lost, you're condemned already. Not according to me, but according to the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what it says. Believe. Let me focus there for just a minute. We're not talking about a carnal belief. The world today says, well, I believe. Well, as ignorant as a little boy as I was, I couldn't even read. I couldn't listen. I'm telling y'all, I didn't know nothing. That night I come to Rocky Mountain, and I was sitting there on that front seat as a 9-year-old little boy. You can ask Joshie here. We get out of church, and my plan was that night to go outside and play with my friends. That's why I come to church. I wanted to play with my friends. And I was sitting there on that front seat that night, and every time I see Sister Carter, I can't help but to think of Brother Thomas. That man preached the gospel to me, and I'm thankful for it. But that night, I don't believe in all my heart that he knew anything that I was lost. I don't think he had any inkling of that, but I'll tell you who did know. God knew. And I was sitting there on that front altar that night, or that front seat, and I have never felt so all alone in all of my life. My grandparents, one was sitting in the A-women corner, one was sitting in the A-men corner, and I have never felt so alone in all of my life. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say, but all I knew was, is I need to pray. Now you say, preacher, you's talking about belief. Listen, I was raised up, Brother Jeff, I'm simple, brother, I can't help it. I was raised up, my grandparents was good, godly people. They blessed every meal you sat around that table. I was raised up hearing about the Lord. Raised up hearing about it. So I knew that there was a God, but until it becomes personal to you, I'm not talking about believing with the mind. I'm talking about believing with the heart.
Amen.
And I'm just going to tell you right now, you can't muster up that kind of belief on your own. You're telling me that there's a God in heaven. And Apostle Paul said that he was caught up in a vision, and he got a vision and seen things that wasn't even lawful for him to talk about. In the third heaven that goes beyond what we can see. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. But I'm going to tell you who had to help me establish that faith. It was God. You can't come up with that kind of faith on your own. This man here was told what he must do. And you know what? It said he went away in rage. How many times I've seen lost people come to the altar, and I'm not going to say and they get mad, but they get discouraged, and they come and they seek and they say, "Preacher, I've tried." And bless your heart. I know you tried, but you keep trying. You keep trying. You keep coming. Keep seeking him until you find him.
Amen.
Don't go away, my head. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't God's fault you ain't found him yet. It ain't his fault you ain't found him yet. Nathan said if I'd been asked to do something great, I could have stayed there in Damascus and washed in those rivers. Why did I have to come here and be washed in the Jordan? Listen to me, unless you come God's way, you ain't never going to get there.
Amen.
You ain't never going to get there unless you come His way. You might try it on your own. You might try to say all the right words and try to do everything in your power to get there. But you ain't never going to get there unless you come God's way. The problem is so many people say, well, I thought, or I think, or the problem with that is the word I. Yeah. You've got to get I out of the picture.
Right.
You need God.
Amen.
And until you fully see tonight how much, I'm going to tell you right now, as a 9-year-old little boy, I never knew how much that I was going to need him in my life. I mean, I did not realize the extent of how much that I would need him and depend on him.
Amen.
You don't realize tonight the severity of your condition. And Lord, if you don't, I pray God reveal it to you.
Amen.
This man, he told him to go to the door. You know, Christ said, "I am the door. I am the door." Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, there ain't no other way but Christ. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to try to wrap it up here just in a minute. But I'm going to say this to you. The point of this man being washed in the river 7 times, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the world today that believe, and I know we don't hear, but I'm just going to put it out there. A lot of folks today believe in water baptism will make them clean. Listen to me, baptism, water has never washed away sin.
Amen.
Never. Amen. Never. I'm going to tell you what the picture of that is to me. Number 7 being a picture of completion.
Amen.
You've got to go all the way. And then when you've went all the way, I've heard people say this. I'm going to tell you what's amazing. Is they stepped out on faith. And when they stepped out, God met them right there in the middle. Lost friend tonight. Naaman went on. And he washed 7 times in the river. And he was made clean. He was made whole. Tonight, there was a woman over there said she had an issue of blood 12 years. She'd spent all she had. She'd heard about Jesus. heard about what he could do. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'd be made whole. Listen to me tonight. You've got to be determined to go all the way. Go to him. You've got to get I completely out of the picture. You've got to look at him. You've got to go to God. I don't know tonight. I hope it's a help to somebody. Lost friend, I pray that you seek the Lord. You need to be saved.
Amen.
I want you to be saved. Don't leave discouraged. Don't give up. You keep seeking him till you find him.
Amen.
And when you found him, this old flesh, as Brother Jeff said, it sins every day. I used to think when I was a little boy that preachers, they's kind of perfect, I guess. I did. I'm going to tell you right now, ain't nothing perfect about me except what God fixed right in here.
Amen.
I was thinking about that broken heart. Once something's broken, does it ever look the same? You can try to glue it back together and make it look right, but I'm going to tell you what, the greatest thing about that heart was broke, but God put it back together.
Amen.
Tonight, you need the Lord. Come seek God while he may be found. Brother, if you get us a song together.